Connect with others in the Awaken Therapist community and join us over on Patreon. When you become a member of the Awaken Therapist community, you'll gain access to exclusive teachings, consultations, and resources. Find out more at awakentherapist.com. I'm Harmony Quaker, licensed counselor, author, and visiting instructor at Naropa University, where I teach Gestalt therapy. I created this podcast to support therapists and clients in unlocking the magic of psychotherapy. In season two, I'm joined by expert therapists who bring a wealth of insight into the conversation of transpersonal counseling. When a client genuinely wants to stop engaging in behaviors that harm their well-being, but they continue to act in self-sabotaging ways, a therapist has a sacred opportunity to help the client heal the underlying wound. Instead of focusing on changing the behavior itself, we can support clients in healing the root of the behavior. In this episode, I share how to support clients in healing their attachment wounds so they feel empowered to move in the world from their sovereign self. The other day, I received an email with a question that was so profound and so important that I was compelled to respond here. And the question was, from a Gestalt perspective, how do you work with aspects of a client where there seems to be deep awareness, but no movement towards resolution, especially when the roots of the pattern trace back to infancy? How do we address something connected to such an early version of the self? This is a question that I think many therapists grapple with. How do we support clients who genuinely want to change, who want to make self-supportive choices that foster their well-being, but who continue to behave in ways that undermine their own growth? Helping clients unwind these sabotage patterns really requires that we support them in returning to the birthplace of the behavior, the origin of the consciousness that is guiding this behavior, because it is often with deeply ingrained patterns that we see these sabotage patterns where we're entering into territory that really calls for skill and patience and deep trust in the client's innate wisdom. Trust that this pattern is an adaptive survival strategy that holds a wisdom that is the key to the client's liberation. Because these patterns began in the past when there was an unmet need that the client is now trying to fulfill through these patterns, we're often encountering an attachment wound. At the core of this wound is this unmet need from long ago, and it is paired with this personality adaptation. The behavior developed in an attempt to get that need met. So these adaptions are often unconscious strategies to regulate the nervous system and create a sense of safety when the need that the client's subconscious is really longing for doesn't seem to be available in their present environment. So they transfer this need onto some other element of the environment that's a substitute that gives them a sense of getting that need met, even though that need remains unsatisfied. In my own healing journey, I've worked extensively with an early attachment wound that dates back to when I was just 5 months old. My parents were at a party and I had fallen asleep, and my father placed me on the top bunk of a bed and then returned to the gathering. And I woke up alone and, began to move and wriggle around on the bed, and eventually I rolled over and rolled off the bed. I hit my head on a dresser and then fell the rest of the way to the floor. I had a near-death experience, and when my breath finally returned to me, I screamed and cried, and people rushed in. But the experience left a deep imprint on my attachment system. I became hesitant to reach out to receive care or nourishment from the people in my life, and I learned to be hyper responsible and overly independent. And even though I wouldn't directly ask for help, I would watch the environment carefully, hoping that someone would remember me, that they would reach out to me and take care of me without me having to ask. Over time, I began to work with this wound and I realized I am not my attachment pattern. I'm not my attachment wound. And I could see that this was an adaptive strategy that I created to survive my early experience and also to make sense of my early experience. It's like almost this vigilance to try to make sure it never happened again. But when the wound was activated in my relationships, I felt as though my life was threatened, that I would die if I reached out. And I also felt equally threatened by not reaching out, that I would die if I didn't get this nourishment that I was longing for. And so I was caught in this painful paradox of needing connection, but feeling too scared to ask for it. Creating a map for how to engage with the world based on these early attachment wounds is really what most of our clients are coming in to work with when someone compulsively uses substances or compulsively shops or eats beyond their fullness or engages in sexual activity that doesn't match what it is that they're really wanting for themselves. They are attempting to get a need met from the environment in a place that actually won't satisfy their need. But because the pattern had them orient to this substitute need, the person continually goes in this other direction to try to get their need met, even though that experience never satisfies the need. Even when the behavior is harmful, there's this underlying attempt at nourishment, an unconscious effort to regulate the emotional pain of the unmet need. When a client wants to change but continues a pattern that doesn't serve their well-being, this is often because of the subconscious elements of their attachment wound are guiding their behavior. In Gestalt, we look at this through what's called the cycle of experience. And the cycle begins with the emergence of a need, followed by mobilization, and then action to get that need met, contact with the environment, and then satisfaction, and then withdrawal from the environment. And this is what happens when the cycle of experience is complete. A person notices they have a need, they begin to mobilize, they take action to get that need met, they make contact with the environment, they receive the nourishment from the environment that they wanted, they feel satisfied, and then withdraw from the environment. And that is the cycle. In my example of my experience as an infant, we can see that I became aware of a need to have my caregivers, and I mobilized to get them. I started wriggling in the bed, and then I took action and I rolled over. But the contact with the environment was disrupted because my caregivers weren't there, and instead I fell and had this very traumatic experience, and the cycle was interrupted. The cycle wasn't complete. The need was left unsatisfied, and that interruption in my system became the unfinished business that would guide the way that I interacted with the environment. When these interruptions of the cycle of experience accumulate over time, they can show up as repetitive patterns, emotional distress, and difficulty moving forward. What we often call a sabotage pattern is, in truth, an ongoing attempt to fulfill an unmet need. The problem is that the strategy is oriented towards something that can't actually satisfy the need, and so the cycle never completes. In my case, I was trying to get my need met by not asking for it, an echo of the original injury. This was my sabotage pattern. I was unknowingly keeping myself from the very thing I needed, and the pattern perpetuated the same incomplete experience. Healing of these deep attachment injuries doesn't come from changing behavior. It really comes from meeting the original wound with awareness, compassion, and presence, not from somebody else, but from ourselves. And in doing so, when we help the client to meet themselves and meet their wound in this deep way, they complete the cycle internally and they restore contact within themselves. They repair their attachment wound by becoming a secure base for themselves. And they finally satisfy the need that's been waiting to be met from the environment. Offer another example, I'll share a story about a therapist who was working with a client, and they described their client as really wanting partnership and never having the long-term partnership that they had wanted. And because they believed that they would never get this need met, they would have sexual encounters with people who they didn't know, and then they would loop in regret and shame and guilt. The client could see that they were using sex as a means to try to get this secure connection that they longed for, but they continually felt unsatisfied because the people that they would engage with didn't want to have a long-term partnership with them, and the client themselves didn't want long-term partnership with these people either. And so they were left feeling lonely and like they would never get this need met. As it turns out, this client's attachment wound happened when their parents got divorced and their father wouldn't show up for their visiting hours. And so the client would be sitting on the front porch waiting for their father to show up, and the father would never arrive. And in their young mind, the client made up this story that it was their fault. And so this idea that it was their fault that they would never get their need met kept them looking to get the need met in places where they weren't going to get it met. From a transpersonal perspective, we can see that what the client is seeking from the outside world is actually something that they can begin to give to themselves. They are the key to completing their cycle of experience. In this example, the client is abandoning themselves in pursuit of external validation. They're hoping somebody else will show up for them with this story that nobody will ever show up for me, while continuing to not show up for themselves by abandoning themselves and abandoning their heart and what it is that they really want. The therapeutic shift happens when the client learns to turn inward, and instead of leaving themselves to get the need met externally, they begin to give themselves what it is that they need, holding themselves in their experience. This can be profoundly difficult for clients because they've been waiting for so long to get their need met from somebody else, and they've created this story that they'll only feel satisfied when they get the need met from somebody else. But the repair really begins when they start to offer themselves what it is that they've been longing to receive. It's not that they don't ask for the environment, but when they don't repair internally and they keep looking outside of themselves, this is where they find these replacement or substitute experiences or people to try to get their needs met from, and they continue to feel unsatisfied. But when they receive from the environment from a place of health and contact within themselves, they're more likely to not only get the need met, but to receive the nourishing quality when the opportunity is there in the environment. In my own healing journey, when I realized that my attachment wound would get activated when I was perceiving my partner as dropping me, in my activation, in those moments where I felt like I could die, I would turn towards myself and say, "I will always hold you. I will never drop you." And I would repair internally and give myself the thing that I wanted from the world outside of me. And then I would go to my partner and I would say to him, "I really want to feel held by you right now. I want to know that you're here with me and that you're not going anywhere." And when he would hold me, then I could actually receive that nourishment. And so the repair was amplified because I would give it to myself. And then I would meet the environment from contact at the contact boundary without projecting onto the environment that the environment was at fault for the way that I was feeling. Anytime we look to the environment, to the people in our lives, to food, to alcohol, shopping, sex, to meet our needs without first looking within, we move our center outside of ourselves when we make those things or those people the source of our okayness. We make them the center of our being. We come off balance with ourselves and we place our power in these external things, which inevitably has us feel off balance and incomplete and fragmented and wounded. The path to healing is not about rejecting our needs or shutting down our longing for connection. We are biologically wired for connection. We want to feel safe and connected in relationship. This is about learning how to anchor ourselves within our being to embody ourselves with awareness, to recognize our patterns without judgment, and really to begin to offer ourselves the very care that we've been seeking externally. And from that place of connection, we can begin to receive the nourishment that others offer us that is present in the environment, not from a place of sabotage, not from a place of displaced needs, but from a place of true connection and true contact. I hope you'll stay and listen over on Patreon, where I'm going to talk more deeply about guiding a client and healing their attachment wound and completing unfinished business, completing the cycle of experience. Join us in the Awaken Therapist online classroom, where my guest offers a masterclass in their area of expertise. This is intended for educational purposes only, and the content here should not be taken as advice or clinical supervision. Find out more at awakentherapist.com. The Awaken Therapist Level 1 certification is starting September 2025. In the 6-month training, you'll learn how to unlock the magic of psychotherapy. Join us in exploring deeper dimensions in your work with clients with less burnout. To learn more, check out our trainings at awakentherapist.com.